Right, here we go again. We're back with another weekly Sheep Farm Mint Sauce Chronicles podcast. This is episode 192. And welcome, everybody, to our bullshit platform with the big chill mics, where we try to unravel the nonsense that we're living through. Me and my ostrich-legged, rather large nostrilled brother. The format is simple. We try and release a minimum of 4 shows a month. Members get the full podcast plus download. Non-members get part one or the first hour. All shows are released on Saturdays, and most of the shows are always 2 hours plus, but minimum of two, around about 2 hour mark. Podcasts are always available at sheepfarm.co.uk, that's sheepfarm.co.uk. If you go to the podcast section, you always see the most recent one there. We also put part one out on Podomatic, that then send them out to Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts and Apple. Most of the videos that I've put on since 2020, 2021 are backed up on Odyssey. So all the stuff that were deleted on YouTube, or I had to delete on YouTube so we didn't get strikes, are all there on Odyssey. Also, part one also goes on to Rumble and Odyssey, if it allows me to load them up. But they're always available at sheepfarm.co.uk or part one at Podomatic. Please subscribe to the website for email notifications for new shows if you want. There's no charge or anything like that. Just get an email when we get a new show out. But we always release on a Saturday anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Join us on Instagram. You can contact Chris via direct messaging, or DM. He's really in with the in crowd now, calling it DMs. I'd like to thank everybody for ordering from Elf Bunker. If you have ordered there, my vitamin C powder, sodium ascorbate powder. We've got some new products, actually. Defense, which is vitamin D3. Another magnesium product called Magzorb that helps you absorb magnesium. And a zinc product called Zinc Immune with it's a complex of other items in there as well, other nutrients in there. Please use the promo code. It's in the description for Health Bunker products. There's a new Matrix out. That's on YouTube. It's uploaded on YouTube, and that gets backed up automatically on Odyssey. It's Matrix 40. They're about 30 minutes long. Some of the longer ones don't get backed up on Odyssey. There's some sort of problem when it's over 30 minutes backing them up on Odyssey. But I'm making a point of starting to upload them to Sheep Farm's second YouTube channel. So all of them should be on there. So you should be able to watch them on there. Anyway, this week's show. Today we've got a different sort of format of a show. We've got Mike Eden on, and we're sort of going to do a bit of a Mint Sauce Chronicles with Mike. It's 2 hours, 20 minutes, I think it is, the full podcast, where Mike talks about, in the first hour, we talk about some subjects that are just topical, and then in part two, he talks basically about what happened in 2020 and some of the stuff that's happening now regards the new information that's out there. It's quite enlightening, actually. So I hope you can join us for part one and part two. If not, join us for part one. That's no problem. Let's get on with the show. See you in a bit.
But
all right, welcome back to this Sheep Farm podcast. This is episode 192, I do believe. And joining me today, as usual, is our Chris. He ain't got his witch piss. And we've also got a returning guest, Dr. Mike Eden. Hi, Mike.
Well, I'm Mike. Very glad to be back with the Sheep Farm or Sheep Farmers. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, we're going to do a slightly different format to normal. Normally, we get when a guest comes on, we talk about sort of their stuff and their stories and their book or whatever they want to discuss at that particular point in time. But we're going to do a Mint Sauce Chronicles. It's the first one we're going to try doing full. I'm sure we'll not just try; we will do it. Going through videos and news stories and just get feedback from our guests on these sort of topical subjects as well, which me and Chris were discussing doing this week, so we thought it'd be a good one to fire over and drop Mike in it and get him doing it first.
Yeah, no, I'm a lot more comfortable now than I would have been when we first spoke, because I thought, well, I should only speak as it were out of my field of expertise, and won't I damage my credibility if I speculate? And it's no, I've done so much more reading and watching, listening, including to you guys and others. And so the bits all fit, unfortunately, and scientists and anybody else join dots. So I'm quite happy to talk about chemtrails and the influence of the music industry on social nudging and all that good stuff.
Yeah, well, I would say, I mean, from a scientist point of view, you guys, once you do sort of trip over and reel and see things. You would put stuff together a lot better probably than, say, me and Chris would, because you do it in a different, slightly different way, don't you? That's probably what the establishment is probably scared of, people like yourself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I remember people might think this is an exaggeration, but, you know, people will always say of someone prominent, "Thank you for speaking out. You're so brave." And I've always said to them, it's not bravery. It's if what's happening is anything like what I think is happening, I would say, if you're worried about what will happen if you speak out, worry about what will happen if you don't, right? Because, and then I did think about the physical danger, because I was aware, for example, in parts of the world like Africa, where the people who are, I call them the perpetrators, people running this scam, if they can't physically stop people from speaking, their general rule of thumb is they murder them.
Yeah.
There are reports, an enormous disproportionate number of African countries' MPs died suddenly early in 2020. And they were people, I guess, who didn't take the instructions. Whereas in the West, they do that occasionally. But the easiest way to do it is censor you and smear you. And I think someone made a decision probably in the summer of 2020. Are we going to censor and smear this guy, or do we need to take him out? I'm quite serious. And so I've received extreme censorship and smearing in the first year. Interestingly, I think their tactic, it's not personal, I just fit a category of super plausible people. So they censor me unbelievably tightly, and they do not mention me or attack me anymore, because that's the way of making sure, if you don't know who I am, you'll never hear of me.
It's true. Mac, I never see you pop up anywhere, if I'm honest.
No, I'm not allowed to. Yeah, I can't have named accounts on any of the major platforms, you know, YouTube or Twitter, all that sort of stuff. I always say to people, the only place I can be me is probably in that highly surveilled and controlled environment called Telegram. Very relevant, because the CEO was allegedly arrested in Paris a few days ago. I personally think it's as controlled, permeated, and any of the other platforms. I think it's naive to think that the perpetrators who have total control can't get into some, you know, relatively small social media platform. I think they allow us to post there, because then people like me will gather there. You wash up there, and they can watch. Yeah. It concentrates by a thousandfold. So
I've got a litmus test for that, Mike, because I was at work in my chef job, and a guy came and told me about that, and I knew nothing about it. If someone comes and tells me something like that, then I kind of suspect that it's been put out there for a reason.
Yeah, exactly. And many people I speak to, and everyone who's believes the narrative, have heard about anything like Telegram. They've never heard of it, or if they have. Oh, isn't that Russian conspiracy theory site, you know, where it's all kiddie porn? You see that?
Yeah.
You didn't know that it's a place, it's one of the few places where you can write and say what you want, and a lightning bolt doesn't descend upon you. You don't get sent to jail for 3 years for questioning something.
Well, when I was in holiday in Croatia the other week, there's a super yacht out in the harbour. It was one of the support yachts. It was a 75-meter support yacht with a helicopter on back and everything. And it had a 100-meter yacht round the corner for the owner, right? So this was a support yacht.
Yeah.
It was the owner of WhatsApp when I looked at who owned the yachts. Yeah. And so these businesses are basically CIA operations, not just because he's got a yacht, by the way, a lovely yacht, but they're set up and they put these people in a position that they can't argue. We've just seen a similar circumstance 2 weeks ago where a guy on his yacht has just demised.
Along with his former business partner got run over whilst running, not on the road.
Yes, in his kitchen probably. Tony Blair was getting on the Oracle guy's yacht. I mean, Oracle was a CIA setup from day one, Larry Ellison's business. I've gone into a great detail about that. But anyway, so all these things are set up from the ground level. Maybe some of them are organic at the start, but the infiltration becomes when they realize what they can become. And that's just how it works in this life. Some of us can get our heads just a little bit above grass and have a nice life and all that type of stuff, but we'll never rise to the lofty heights unless we sign that Faustian bargain.
Yeah, I'm sure that's true. And thinking, people have often said to me, well, you're not aware of, you know, how bad the industry you were in could be. And I've said before, and I would say it again, that no, because most people in most businesses, certainly vice president and down, it's not that senior. It's like halfway up the pecking order from the lab rats to the CEO. A vice president is literally halfway off on the 13 grade steps. So people at that level, I think, are genuinely trying to do whatever the business that they're employed by notionally does. So you don't get to know what's going on in the boardroom and just not telling anybody. I had no idea. But I did, as I got more senior, and then others went on another level and then another level, some of whom got knighthoods and so on. It's like, yeah, it's like you meet them and you go, you're
yeah.
There's a word for that in the dome. What is it?
What's that, sorry?
There's a word for that in there. What is it?
What, a word for what?
You know, what Mike was just explaining. Begins with a C.
I can't say it. Oh. Compartmentalized.
Yeah, compartmentalized. Absolutely.
It takes the piss out of me, Mike, because, well, it takes the piss out of Yorkshire people who we shouldn't be allowed to say compartmentalized.
I mean, I'm including myself as well, by the way. Compartmentalized. There's some words we just shouldn't say.
Yorkshire people shouldn't be allowed to say that. There's too many letters in it for us to talk about.
Yeah, just an idea. It's the same with, as you know, there are certain sort of London assumptions about people with regional accents. So if you're from Birmingham, you're not very clever. Yeah. I was born in Birmingham, you know. Yeah. And
I love Brummie accent. It's a great accent.
I think it's great accents. And look, that's where the Industrial Revolution was. It was like northeast and northwest Midlands and so on. It's like they were clever people.
Yes.
So and the same, you know, but they'll assume you're not very clever if you've got a regional accent. It's just nonsense, of course.
I wanted to just run something by you guys because you just reminded me of something, Mike, when you mentioned chemtrails, funnily enough. My missus pulled me aside the other day. She was watching some BBC crappy show. I don't know what it was. And she's been watching this, and she said she's really enjoying it. You know, it's just, some weird love story. I don't know what the story is. But someone's also Instagram messaged me this. But they're talking about conspiracy theorists. So she's trying to find a fella, and she's dating this bloke. And they're arranging the second date, and they stood outside her house. My missus showed me this clip. And he goes, oh, look at that bloody chemtrail. And he goes on a rant and he gets really angry about chemtrails. And it's basically like on this BBC show, her rolling her eyes and like looking at him, all right, yeah. And like, obviously she never sees him again because he's now a lunatic.
Yeah.
And then later on, she showed me another clip where they're discussing that relationship with this other guy. And he goes, oh yeah, and maybe 9/11 was an inside job. And they all like roll their eyes and start laughing. And I just find it fascinating that they've thrown it into BBC.
That is the reaction, as you know, that you very commonly get.
Yeah. But at the same time, there's a news story saying, I mean, is it right to, you know, chemtrail the planet?
I think we're at the point where Anthony Fauci and whatever, Bill Gates, could come on the television and say, we did design these injections to injure and kill you. And I think people would go, oh, isn't it good that they're able to have jokes on the TV? I don't think there's anything they could do.
I actually agree. I think if one of them came on with a pair of horns and said, I am absolutely Beelzebub. Oh, you know, you can't go around judging Beelzebubs all the time. You know, it's just,
exactly.
People have always had horns. It's ridiculous that you. It's amazing. Yeah. These people.
And the very idea that there have ever been historical figures who have had it in for the entirety of a particular, you know, group or class or enemy's population—that's never happened. Oh, wait. That's the thing. When people say, "Oh, well, why would they do that?" It's always a funny one. That one. I then turn it around and say, imagine, I may have mentioned this before, seeing this from your bedroom window and you look out on the street and you see two guys attacking another and you can see the flash of a blade, you phone the police and report it. Policeman goes, wait, I'm not going to take your evidence until you give me a motive. It's mad, isn't it? So I don't need to know why they're doing it for my evidence to be credible. But the fact that people say, why would they do it, is their first reaction. It tells you that they're behaving like children. I'm going to find a way for this to go away. Rather than why do you say that? It's
Reality terrifies them, Mike. That's the problem. Reality terrifies them.
But my perspective has gradually, when I started, of course, the intention was we're going to stop this. You know, when I stand up, other people will do, and so on. Then over the next couple of years, what was happening was even worse than I thought, and I wasn't seeing a lot more people standing up. And so I thought, well, maybe we can delay or deflect what's coming. And I've got to a point where I don't think I can, and perhaps that's being realistic. And instead of trying to do that, it might be better to speak to people who aren't up for that so they can decide what to do about it. So someone the other day reminded me of, what did Noah do when he was told about the rains coming? Did he cast around, pointing at the sky, telling everybody, we've got to do whatever we can to stop it raining? No, he built a boat. I'm kind of at the building the boat stage.
Yeah, I think me and Chris have been at that building boat stage for quite a while, because I think when you become, you do go through those stages where you become sort of evangelistic, and that's a nice stage, actually, because you feel energized and things, but and you can deflect all the ridicule and people shaking their heads at you and all that, because you don't care. You're on this crest of a wave.
Yeah. And you're enjoying absorbing new information.
Exactly, you know? And thinking you can change the world, when in reality, is that what we're here for? I don't know if that's what we're really here for anyway, to change the world.
No, I agree.
I think that path is, I think the path is already set, isn't it? I think the path is already set. The path's already set.
I think the path's already set. And a different person said to me that what's happening seems to bear such close resemblance to what's in Revelation, in the Bible, that you know, who are you to even think that you should change it? You know, maybe this is necessary, and not automatically for the reasons the perpetrators are doing it.
Maybe they're controlled as much as we are.
It should be their control as much as we are, and it's like, it's like a Russian doll kind of idea, where we're some, or like electrons in shells or under an atom, you know, a nucleus, at all these different levels. And so, even the people I think of as our adversaries, people I call the perpetrators, then there's a layer behind them that we're unaware of, I guess.
I would say whether it's energetic or whether it's the Godverse, if you like, whatever Godverse is, or the parallel universes, or whatever, bigger Earth, whatever it could be, there's definitely some kind of energy that is steering these people and steering us as well. We've got to accept the fact that from a different light, we could be steered. And I've often come up with a concept in my head that we could literally, in another world, be the bad guys. Because the process could be that these people, they're doing whatever they're doing, this work, for some reason that we unknowingly, and we don't know why, and we're actually scuppering that plan in some way. Hence why the fight back and the pushback is, I've got to keep that balance, otherwise you end up going down.
So when I point out that, although I don't know why, I've made some guesses, but I can point to some things that are, in my view, absolutely certain from my own training, mechanistic toxicology, 30 plus years in the industry, that, and I've said this so many times, I'm not slightly reluctant to do it, I'm very happy to do it. There's no doubt that the injected materials, the gene-based injections for so-called COVID-19, were intentionally designed to injure, kill, and lower fertility in survivors. Because I can see all of the ways in which that would happen.
There's another side to that as well, Mike. And I'm talking, obviously, I'm not a scientist, but there's another side to that as well.
Yeah.
I have to ask myself, a lot of these people I research are all, there's several traits that seem to run through them. Obviously, you've got a bloodline, but a lot of them are eugenesis background. We haven't come up with this word that everything that is a eugenesis, even stuff that are good for us, that's eugenics, that you can't take that anymore. But you've got to ask yourself, why did they start the eugenics programs? We could say, to cull people, to kill people, But somewhere behind the scenes, there's someone trying to devise a superhuman or longevity. They're the two, or the unknown, There's two reasons. So the downsides that we see, people dying from these jabs, people getting injured, et cetera, the genetic changes that it makes. But on the other side, I would hazard a guess there are some people being enhanced by these things as well. Because there's got to be a yin and a yang somewhere. And somewhere in the middle, people aren't as damaged, if you like, or changed, whatever you want to call it. Because damage to us is not damage to someone else. If you think about, say, a cancer cell, it's an immortal cell. Mm-hmm. Who would want to be looking for immortality?
The people who've got unlimited amounts of everything except time.
Yes.
That's so they assuming that they are actually mortal and they can't upload themselves to the cloud and download themselves into another body.
And shapeshift,
Or just walk into number 10 and just mutate into some giant lizard guy.
But the funny thing is, though, the sense that there's always this in deception, folks, you know this, that when an attempt to work, an intention to deceive you is made by these people, and it's done routinely, but it's specifically, it's a specialty of these people. They come up with an ostensible reason to do something, and then there's the real reason, which you have to work out for yourself. So think how hard they've worked over decades to make most people okay with vaccines. It's like bad diseases, these jabs will reduce the severity or whatever and save the people. But really, I think the entire field of vaccinology from its earliest inceptions had in mind a way to access humans' bodies because, eating and drinking and breathing and so on is one thing. But if you want to really get something into a person, you need a needle. And so I think whichever genius thought of the hollow needle, that got to the attention of the perpetrators hundreds of years ago. And they said, we're going to make sure we're going to use that. So they build a story around it, and eventually it's unassailable. So doctors know that they can't criticize or question these vaccines. But I've said to people that you can't do it if you're a lawyer or an accountant or a dentist. Any member of a regulated profession will find that they get bad treatment from their own regulator pretty quickly if they start speaking out about something that's nothing to do with their work. And the rationale would be bringing the profession to disrepute, all that sort of stuff. And of course, most people who are professionals are members of some professional organization, like the General Medical Council. There'll be an equivalent for nursing, midwifery, dentistry, and so on. People like me, we're like the intellectual version of the horny-handed son of toil. They don't make PhDs be members of any professional organization. So you can't be... It's a really odd one. We stick up amongst all these other regulated professions, but we can't be, as it were, debagged or struck off because there's no list. It's just quite interesting, really. It's quite interesting. And so it took me a very long time to realize why so few people were speaking out. I knew there would be financial consequences, but I remember appealing. I said, look, if you're in mid-50s or older, and a consultant, unless you behave badly or you have some horrible habits, you'll have enough money that if you didn't earn any more, you probably won't notice, your family won't notice. But they won't speak out because there'll be punishments more than money. They could be, for example...
Social
punishment. Yeah, social. Be booted out. They won't be welcome at the golf club or the Rotary club, whatever it is. And so the more you enmesh yourself in society, the more vulnerable you become if at any point you wanted to criticize it. So you'll be unsurprised to hear, and you'll probably say, I could have noticed that as well. I'm not particularly social. I virtually never join things. I like to work on my own mostly.
And that's probably the line me and Chris, being mixed race, we were brought up in a little village and we always knew we were odd ones out. But I were always comfortable with that, though. I know Chris was as well, So I always felt the odd one out anyway. I never joined clubs. I never liked it. That's why I stuck to weight training, because I could do it on my own.
Yeah. I think something funny, I had this conversation with someone the other day. I used to think when I was growing up, I didn't really fit in with my white friends and I didn't really fit in with my black friends. I always felt... I'm a brother. I don't get accepted because I'm mixed. And then I realised it were neither of them. I just thought we were a bit fucking weird.
Didn't he ever put any thought into it, Chris, though? It could have been your nostrils.
Yeah. It could have been your nostrils, I suppose. Yeah. In my case, I didn't have a word for it then. But I'm probably, do they call it neuroatypical or something like that? I don't think like other people. And I'm a pleasant enough person. I never try to be offensive. I'm not very good at it. That's why I don't lie either. I'm crap at that. But I genuinely think I often look at situations differently. And so if I was chatting with somebody, I'll make a remark, an observation, and they'll look at me oddly, you know, like inch away from me. I think, what did I do?
That's so a good point, mate.
I'm not average in, in lots of ways.
Maybe we're the ones that the eugenics program has kicked out that they don't actually want. You know, like the...
No, we're very dangerous. I say to people, I think I'm censored so much because I'm like kryptonite to their Superman.
About 10 years ago, a good mate of mine, before we started podcasting, said to me, you're very dangerous, you Dom. And I went, what do you mean? And he went, not in a bad way. He's somebody I could talk to. He just said to the system, it's very dangerous because she can actually put things over in a way. I think that's a lot to do with
it. Again, Fire, going back to that TV show with the chemtrails, why? First of all, they must be worried to put that in a TV show, obviously. Mm. Marking people out, but also there'll be people who weren't aware of the chemtrail thing who are now thinking, what's that about?
Yes,
because they emphasized it quite well, quite a lot. So, there's going to be more soon, there's going to be even more. So, there's going to be more discussion about it, and they're trying to nip it in the bud before it starts.
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about the Matrix videos, but on the Matrix videos, there was one on there about can geoengineering basically save the earth? This was on, I think it was. The BBC, or a BBC news story. And so they are putting things out there now that geoengineering, Bill Gates covering the sun, yada, yada, yada. I mean, the sun's been there quite a while, Bill.
I've got one here, Dom. Stratospheric aerosol injection, an effective solution to buy time for other efforts to take hold. I can't remember where I got that from, but
I've definitely seen such stories. And so I don't think that the perpetrators are attempting, they're not going out of their way to sort of crush every piece of speculation or reporting that might wake people up, because they know and they knew better than we did what we have discovered, which is that most people are not susceptible to being woken up. I've met or re-met people I knew before the thing started, and they don't want me to talk to them. And they don't want to know. I think they know perfectly well something's going on, but they've decided to take the, I don't know, who am I to judge them? I think they've decided, I'm going to pretend this is not happening.
Yeah, the old ostrich. I went to a cricket game the other day, and three people who I've been speaking to in the last month or so, whose eyeballs were going round when we were discussing it with them, actually came up to me and mentioned that yachting accident in Italy, saying, how odd's that? The postman said it. Loads of people have mentioned it and wanted to talk to me about it. That wouldn't have happened pre-2020.
No.
I've mentioned to a few people, Mike, this is, about the football players and sports stars dropping of numerous whatevers. Mm. And I found it interesting because this is only a few weeks ago. I mentioned to two people at work, have you noticed a lot of sports? And these people who talk about football a lot, I'm not interested in football. Have you noticed a lot of sports stars dropping on the pitch? Yeah, I have actually. And then they've said immediately, what do you think that could be? And there's only one thing changed in the last 4 years, and that's that they all had to get the jib jab. And they go, oh, yeah. And then they don't want to talk about it any further than that. I mean, I'm not insulting these people or slagging them off, but that's as far as I want that conversation to go. But that's something they watch week in, week out. I mean, even I notice it, and I don't watch any sport whatsoever. And they've not even put two and two together. And they don't, when I tell them, they don't want to discuss it, don't want to talk about it.
Just this week, a 27-year-old Uruguayan has dropped on a pitch in Brazil and died instantly.
I was saying to you, I read that article, Dom, and also two others I don't know if it's that same team or
in the league,
or in Brazil, the league. I don't understand. But
yeah, I mean, people say, oh, well, it's a bit like when there's an aeroplane crash, then there's a spate of reports of aeroplane or incidents like an engine that failed, and then it's delayed baggage on a flight, whatever. And there is something to that, I think. But here's a little factlet. I had the pleasure of meeting and speaking with Le God, Matt Le Tissier, former long-time career footballer at Southampton, and he's made a statement to say whatever it was, a couple of decades in the game, both in training and in actual playing, he never saw a player fall to the floor and not get up again. No. From a stroke or a heart attack. He said he's aware of, was it Patrice Wamba, I think?
Yeah, Wamba, yeah, from played for Bolton, yeah.
And that, you know, we do know there are a small number of people who have inborn errors of cardiac rhythm, and under certain circumstances, they can go into ventricular fibrillation and die. And it's normally screened for now, and as you probably know, when players are being bought and sold, that's one of the things they screen for, both genetically and probably during some sort of challenge. But so that was the one that Matt Le Cidier remembers, and he said there were no others. So you can think all you like that, oh, maybe they're exaggerating it, but he said, you know, I was at top flight football.
The fact that he remembers it and Dom remembers it, it must have been a big thing, because they were...
It was a big thing. It was the first time it had ever happened in this country on live, not just in the Premier League, in any game. But it's not just the matches, it's the crowd, the stopping games. I mean, I don't watch football at all now, but I watch it when my youngest wants to watch it. But I don't watch it at all. It just doesn't interest me. It's too much wokeism and virtue signalling for my liking anymore. But I were sport mad, not just football. And I didn't see it in any game or in any crowd, and I went to a lot of games. But it's happening all the time in the Premier League and the other leagues, and that's just football. It's happening in boxing, swimming, everything it's happening in.
I was saying to Dom, mate, I don't know what your opinion is, but we're coming up to a point where, you know, the excess death five-year average thing will be gone, because the five-year average will be the norm. Yeah,
exactly.
And then it's gone, hasn't it? There's no discussion then.
No, I remember speaking about this to my wife, soon after rollout, so early 2021, she said, "Oh, when do you think there might be so many deaths that it couldn't be hidden?" I said, "I don't think they'll ever get there." I said, "How many people do you think, do you know how many, what percentage of the population die every year?" And she had no idea. It's about, in this country, it's about 0.9%. So roughly 1 in 100 people don't make their next birthday. And of course, they're dominated by people who are already old and a bit unwell. And those people are not out and about bustling in your high street, bumping into them in the market and so on. So when they don't, when they die,
when they don't appear again,
you won't notice. So unless you are their relative, basically, so I said, I think you could double the death rate and almost no one would notice.
And there's another angle to this as well, the amount of trauma. I mentioned to Chris, one of the guys at my son's school, his mate, put out a WhatsApp to all his mates saying his dad's got some form of big C. And that wouldn't have happened when we were kids. When us three were kids, you wouldn't have known about anything like that. Now, 12-year-olds are passing it round to each other, and the whole school will know. And so the trauma as well triggers certain behaviours and illnesses as well. As I'm going to play now, I've got a few videos to play. Actually, we'll have a break. Have you heard some of the videos by Professor Giordano, Mike?
Yes, I have. He's one of these. Is it called Fifth Generation Warfare?
That's right. Yeah. The mindscape, he calls it, is the battlefield. Yeah. I'll play this first one. They're only about a minute long. Just give us a.
What we're here to talk about today is the fact that the brain is and will be the 21st century battlescape in many ways. End of story. You will encounter some form of neurocognitive science that has been weaponized not only in your military career, but in your personal and professional life. It is valid, valuable, and already in operational play. The brain is the current and future battle space. What's new about this is the in-close nature of this. Increasingly, we're not seeing these things as weapons of mass destruction against gross aspects of the population. More specifically, perhaps, might be targeting individuals on a level that allows either direct attribution or covert engagement with non-attribution. If we talk about what brain science is, let me just give you a little bit of brief background on this field that is now called neuroscience. As a titular field, as a named field, neuroscience has only been in existence for 40 years. I know that because I've been a neuroscientist for about 38 of those 40 years. Increasingly, it is becoming an international, multinational, global, and independently exercised event and endeavor, which increases the capability of the brain sciences to develop not only new theories, but ever more sophisticated tools. Look at the power that understanding tools and techniques of the brain sciences afford. We also see the use of biodata as a viable weapon. Manipulating biodata so that I can then put into your particular medical records subtle information that may change the disposition of whether you're sick or not, change how you're treated, influence the postures that go to you in terms of insurance, care, viability for military service. By altering that information, by changing those data, by purloining those data, I essentially change the you.
And if you, again, that was from around about 2016, 2017 when he's doing these talks, but obviously he's been doing it for a long time. He'd been doing it for nearly 40 years to that point. And this is the splitting off of transhumanism, eugenics, whatever you want to call, the splitting off to neuro and nervous system, etc. But just listening to that, this is what we're talking about there, where people don't want to see it or don't want to admit that it's going on. That's how they're controlling people to do that. This is, that's the warfare, isn't it?
No, definitely. I do think the sort of brainwashing stuff broadly, you know, that is to persuade you to believe something that's not true, has been going on. You know, it's as old as time, really, isn't it? It's there are famous, I think Chinese, is it Sun Tzu, something like that, appear strong when you are weak, all this sort of stuff.
Yeah.
So people realize that you mainly win through psychology, and violence is only the last resort, because you could get injured and you will expend resources. So once you're in a world where you can very greatly shape the mindscape, as that guy called it, of the population, you'd always do it that way. It's got plausible deniability.
Yeah.
You can observe and amend. You're running a constant experiment, and you won't alarm people, because, you know, if people turned up on your street, you know, armed and said, "We're from the UN, give us all your stuff," it's like they wouldn't be able to withdraw from that position. It's like, okay, everything we were told by those conspiracy theorists is true. So I'm wondering whether they're never going to do that. They don't. Yeah,
it's very subtle, isn't it, in nature? Mm. Very subtle. It's, again, it's a generational push, isn't it? It's done over a period of time where the nudge unit is a great name for that business as it is now, that just nudge you bit by bit, bit by bit, bit by bit, and then 20 years' time, you don't realise how far down the road you've gone.
Definitely. Yeah, I know, when I think back between, I guess, early Thatcherism in the early 80s, so I guess the Falklands War, was that 1982?
82, yeah.
So 15 years later, we had the Tony B. Liar giving that speech. A new day has dawned, has it not? With his got a fake lot of slop.
Yeah.
I mean, 15 years. Is that right? 82 to 97?
Yeah, around about that time, isn't it?
Yeah, what he brought about by separating, mostly, at least theoretically, power went through Parliament. And you could throw scoundrels out, theoretically, as elections. But by giving, say, the Bank of England its independence, by having a quango oversee, you know, the quality of TV and radio communications, and everything was done like that. So almost no power really rests in Parliament. The Supreme Court idea, that was the job of the Lords. So, basically, I don't know why it is that people nowadays would even bother with Westminster. It has very little power. That's, the country is not being run through Westminster, and what's happening to it couldn't be changed from Westminster either, because that's not where the levers of power are, I don't think.
Yeah. He always terrifies you, that Professor Jude. Or he does, not terrifies me, but he actually lays it out. You could actually see, I'll play this second part, actually. You can actually see what the plan. He's actually telling you the plan. He's basically telling you what's happened.
Moreover, we can induce a number of neuromicrobiological agents to then incur something called high morbidity. These are not necessarily mortal agents. We can modify the existing palette of bacteria and viruses through the use of gene editing techniques, very viable. This has been some of my ongoing work with my colleague Diane DeUlis at National Defense University. And what we can also do is recognize that there are existing microbiologicals that can be harnessed to then induce the effects. We can also engage certain chemicals that way. What we want here is a morbidity factor, not necessarily a mortality factor. I want to make people sick. And what I do here is, the virus is not necessarily the bug. The virus is what I put over the internet. Let me show you how I can crash a system pretty easily. I affect key individuals here, here, and here. And then I take another community in the back of the room. I affect key individuals there. And then I take another community. I affect key individuals there. And then I do what every good attributional group does. I beat my chest and take credit for it. And what I put out over the internet is, this is a virus, a bacteria, an agent that I have infiltrated into your fill in the blank. I say it's a weapon of mass destruction. And what I tell you it's going to do is it's going to produce paranoia, anxiety, and sleeplessness. What I've just done is I've recruited every paranoid hypochondriac to think that they have whatever that is. I've used salient and sentinel cases, and I create essentially a legion of what's known as the worried well.
We're going to say the worried well.
Do you know, whenever I see that video, all I think is, I wonder how much his white shirt cost. It looks really expensive, doesn't it? He seems like an absolute egomaniac, that guy.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Yes, he doesn't look like the sort of person who would have his opinions changed by force of arms. He's going that way, and he's created a series of steps that allows him to get there. He's not interested in what you think. But you pointed out there, I think, how pandemics of illness can be created entirely psychologically. He's just described how you do that. You don't, I often have passionate debates with colleagues about, well, what were their local poisonings? And I say, I genuinely don't know. I'm open to the possibility, but the evidence I've seen myself does not require that happened in order that the COVID-19 pandemic was convincing to very many people, because they picked an illness type, acute respiratory illnesses, coughs, colds, flu, that most of us get to some level relatively frequently. A cold maybe once a year, flu two or three times a lifetime. So it's really likely that lots of people around you in a 70 million population country will get an incident which they'll think is this thing, because it's been blaring from the TV every day for weeks. And then they're going to have a test, which is fine. and then if they die, as a friend of mine says, if they just shot them in the face in the hospital, there'd still be a COVID test, right? It's a pandemic. You don't actually have to have any new illness at all. Yeah. I'm not saying there was no local poisoning. There could have been.
And I will say, Mike, I got a weird illness, a fever. And obviously I work as a chef, so my nose is quite sensitive. And I actually thought that the loss of smell was just psychosomatic. I thought everyone was just overreacting, etc. But I lost my sense of smell to a point where I was cooking some cabbage, I think, some red cabbage, and it was smoking and I could not smell it.
Wow.
Right in front of my eyes. So, and I had this fever twice, and I know a few people, and I'm not saying it was COVID at all.
No, that's the thing. The thing is, I believe what you told me, it doesn't necessarily prove anything. No.
I think it was kind of poisoning, like you said, maybe a spray, I don't know.
Well,
at the same time, said his some of his friends had it, and he described it well, because they said they felt like they'd been poisoned. And also he said to me, because I had it after his friends had it, he said, they said they got burning in the nose. I got burning in my nose, a sore throat, and a fever. I mean, that's something going into your face, isn't it? That's a respect. You're breathing something. It seemed like you were breathing something in it.
Well, not necessarily, Chris. It could also be, I mean, they turned 5G on at that particular point in time as well. So all these symptoms are very similar to radiation.
But have you got that story done? We were going to talk. Shall I mention that?
Yeah.
Because that was quite interesting, because the symptoms of this was exactly the same. They said that there was a sulfur dioxide plume from this was in the news, coming over from a volcanic eruption. But those symptoms are exactly the same, a burning nose, sore throat. Oh, and then you think, so are they up in some form of spraying? Is that why they're announcing?
I mean,
the thing to recognize is, I think these are important events in preserving in the public mind the notion of scary viruses, emerging new diseases from laboratories, pandemics, and the need to do something about that. It's all to do with that kidology. I don't think they're trying to kill people through sulfur sprays or even local poisoning. I think that was all part of it, guaranteeing that they would get their pandemic away, as it were, early on.
And the end goal of, like you said before, getting a spike into someone's bloodstream, which is was the ultimate goal, wasn't it?
I think it's a simple. I mean, this is the thing about. I keep wishing I was completely wrong, but I've said at least for 2 years that I foresee a time where it will be you'll be required to have and display digital ID in order to do anything. And furthermore, it's so bleeding obvious that some event will happen which will mean that cash is either less available, less easy to use, or even absolutely banned. And in its place, the only way to buy and sell will be through digital means. And all you need, if you are an utter bastard and you want to control people and potentially murder most of them, that's all you need. Digital ID that you have to show to do something, and digital money with no cash alternative, because your digital ID will only be valid under certain circumstances. Series of boxes, they can make them what they are, whatever they want, and I think they'll say up to date with the local jabs as recommended by WHO or whoever it is. And that's all you need, folks, to absolutely take control of the entire world if you let them. So anyway, we were talking earlier, maybe before we started, about is it possible to prevent this? It's probably not. So it's a bit like the Noah's Ark story. Did Noah try and put up flood defenses or cloud seeding? No. Did he go on a protest? No. No, it's quite interesting. I had a really good conversation with a friend of mine overseas about this over the last few days. And I was
build your personal bus, boss.
Yeah, well, exactly. If you don't save yourself, or at least do whatever you want to do, then you're not going to save anybody else. And also, as I've always said, ain't no one coming to save us, I'm afraid. Not in this life anyway. No. I don't think what these beings are doing is going to succeed forever if their criterion is total control of everyone for all time. I just think that's not achievable. If they attempt to do it, it'll be what's called a metastable state. It'll only work the way it's supposed to, with immense inputs of aggressive power. Mm-hmm. They can't keep that going forever. But
all we can do is observe, though, Mike, and act accordingly when we can, and discuss these things, without trying to scare each other to death.
If one of the possibilities is they might make cash harder to get hold of by, I'm quite good at imagineering things. So imagine, I think only one company, I can't remember the name of it, makes most of the banknotes for most countries. I did know the name of them, I can't remember. But imagine if there was a fire ripped through their warehouse that contained all the plates for printing 20s and 10-pound notes. It's like, they go, oh, that means there'll be a shortage of new notes for the next year or whatever it is till they can get back up and running. So that could easily happen. And then there's people can complain, but they'll know there's a good reason. They shouldn't have let it happen, but now we're short of notes. And, of course, those of us who watch the financial markets, even though I'm pretty much out of them, will realise and will have perhaps seen Richard Werner and David Rogers Webb. So David Rogers Webb was the great taking, and Professor Richard Werner has talked about the princes of the yen.
It's interesting, isn't it?
I'm in touch with both of these. And so they both know that massive bubbles of debt and derivatives have been blown that are probably 100 times global GDP, maybe a million. So once a stack of debtors fail, if they wanted to, the entire stack can come down. Like 2008, only add several noughts on the end. And at that point, you'd probably be very grateful if somebody came at you with a digital certificate on your phone with which you can buy food. So it's... again, these people, I've got to hand it to them, have been immensely clever. I don't understand what they're doing, Chris, when you were talking about disclosures, including on the BBC, of things like chemtrails. And maybe it's this, that rather than the conspiracy theorists amongst us having to try and persuade our fellow citizens, that the organs of the state will do it for them, for us, but over 3 years. And so it'll never be a big enough shock for someone lounging in their lazy boy chair to leap to their feet and saying, we've been had. They just, if they just leak it out, and then you've got nothing new to tell them. You go, no, we've heard about all that psyops. Yeah, we've heard about those poison jabs. It's like, have you seen the football? But, it could be that's the way to do it. And that's why you see reduced censorship in some places and sometimes officials coming out with stories that would have been dynamite 2 years earlier. And now they just drop it into conversation.
Yeah, like they've been talking about it forever. One chap that does that is, and you've probably met him actually, Dr. Asim Mohatta.
Yeah.
I know in the early outset, he were calling out people who were questioning what was going on. He probably regrets that now. But the downside, he's doing some great talking about the jabs now. I've got to say that. But on the other side, he still says that all the other jabs are fine.
I know.
You know, he does seem a nice guy to be fair to him. I've never met the bloke. He does seem a decent bloke.
I agree with you. I think that there are very, very few people who are calling all of the bits of the tyranny. Why that is exactly, I don't know. I mean, one reaction could be, well, it's obvious, Mike, they're working for the man. It's like, but I don't even know if they are, I don't know that they always know it.
Yes.
You know, it could be that there's something very important for Asim that is about reinforcing, you know, the childhood vaccine schedule, which personally I believe, I'm pretty confident, is unnecessary, ineffective and dangerous to some extent. But there may be some reason that I don't understand, other than the obvious that he's working for the opposition, something else that prompts him to do that. And because I don't know that, because I don't know what's in his head, I'm not going to sit on this recording and saying, oh, he's...
I'm not expecting that.
He's a bad actor. So something like Dr. Tess Laurie at World Council for Health. I do not say that she's working for the opposition. I think she's mistaken about some important things, and I observe that because of those mistakes, what she's doing, I think, is actively helping them. But I do not say that she's doing it with a black heart. I have no idea.
Yeah, won't you accept that we, as in the general public, are the enemies of the state? We are the enemy to these people. Once you get to that point, you can look 360 degrees and say, well, everything's got to be on the table. No matter what we think, everything's got to be on the table.
It's a big pill to swallow, isn't it?
And like I said about eugenics, the whole thing is about altering people's mind. Let's face it, life could be very easy. Even in a capitalist world, life could be easy. There are winners and losers. You could even stick to that one. As long as we help the people that lost, the whole system would work, right? But it isn't set up like that. It's set up even worse than a casino, where even, it's a trick, isn't it? Everything's like a trick. Even Starmer gets into power and says, now there's a black hole, so they can't do the things they were going to do. And it's a whole set, everything's a set up and a lie. The whole construct is.
Early on, I realised, for example, we were being lied to about my entry into this was, you know, the polymerase chain reaction or PCR-based diagnostic, and I probably wasted 6 months of my life on that, because I kept telling people you can't diagnose a disease. You might be able to find some. You might be able to confirm there's a piece of foreign genetic material in a sample, but that doesn't tell you anything. And I went from, but I had no idea of the rest of it at the time, idea at all. But gradually I've got to the point of I don't know about
gradually. I think you've speed dialed in.
I don't think there's anything that is officially told to us that is true. Yeah. Why? If you think about it from the controller's perspective, you've got an opportunity to influence the public with a statement you're going to make. You could either A, tell the truth, whatever that is, or B, you could alter it in such a way as to gain some advantage. Given you have total power, will never be called out. Why would you not always do the second one? I think it's irrational to expect those in authority to ever tell us the truth, and I don't think they do.
No.
I don't think anything important is true.
The truth is that they want to keep from us is that this world is it's in abundance of everything. If we want it to be, we could all be living in a utopia without a doubt. Without their propaganda and you know,
one theory I've heard, I think it was about 2.5 years ago, that maybe it was with Edward Snowden or the people on the inside of the sort of the sort of very clever people working in surveillance. The story I heard was that they'd run some simulation, and whatever they did, it turns out that a critical mass of the general public of the world came to realize what the perpetrators are up to. Whatever they did, by something like 2040, 2045, the game was up, the jig was up. And that is possible. It's possible that if they didn't do something, that inevitably these very long-lived bloodlines will run out of road in just a few decades. And so it's like, fuck it, we have to do something.
Yeah.
And maybe that something is right. Total control. Once you've got total control, gentlemen, why would you bother to waste your resources feeding people that you regard as useless? Mm. So, okay, total control it is, to make sure they can't take away from us what we think is ours. And while we're at it, let's slim down the population to a point that, you know, we're happy with it. And you know, Georgia Guidestones might offer a suggestion that it's between 90 and 95% reduction. And you know what? In their shoes, you and I might do exactly the same thing. If you knew that your wonderful life of total control and unlimited resources was going to come to an end in 25 years, it's like, what are we going to do about that? You probably wouldn't hand over. You probably wouldn't. I think one thing that convinces me it's more than that, and you have to say whether you agree with this or not, is I think there's wanton cruelty going on all the time in what we're doing.
Yes.
And I'm not sure it's necessary. And that's what has made me, I know you're not believers, but that has been part of the evidence that's prompted me to sort of reconnect with faith I had as a child. Because it's like, this is wanton cruelty. Mm-hmm. I don't think I may be wrong, maybe it is necessary, but I can't see why it'd be necessary to take control, to like turn a twist, to twist the knife at every turn. Mm-hmm. You seem to do, as if they enjoy, maybe get energy out of suffering.
Murdering children is, know what I mean? You can't. No matter what, even there's no way you can humanize that, is there?
Well, it's like Israel, the thing going on in Gaza. I don't care what country it is. Let's just say it's not Israel, it's not Gaza. Anywhere in the world that kills 20-odd thousand children, it's just wrong. It doesn't matter who it is. Who it is, where it is, what religion they are. I don't care whether you call me anti-Semitic or racist or anything. Yeah. It's wrong.
Yes.
Right.
I would say further that, even if it was necessary to, to protect yourself, you had to take this territory. I think if we were in the room, we'd bang the table and say, we're getting the kids out first.
Yes.
But you, even if it was like counter.
Anybody with any level of.
Exactly.
And what the telebox does, like the Iraq war and all these other ones, and like Israel, is try to convince us that it's all right this time. It's all right.
It normalizes it, Chris, doesn't it? It's like a computer game.
Yeah,
I mean the thing is, I don't watch TV. I don't consume any main media, and in fact, I've got to the ludicrous point where I don't watch much alternative media either, because I don't need any more information. People keep sending me things about there's this extra, bells and whistles in the sequence. It's like that's not useful anymore. I'm not giving up. It feels like stamp collecting. It's an excuse for doing something else.
You listen to something for 2 hours to find out one thing.
Yeah.
In that 2 hour, and it isn't worth your time doing that anymore. You're sieving out and sieving out and sieving out, and it's just not. You're better off sitting down and writing all the information you've got down.
Or going for a nice walk or something.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, one thing that when me and Chris started, I said, "Look, whatever we do has got to be different, didn't I, Chris? Not because I want to be different, just more. So the level of research, the detail, that's got to be different. And it's got to bring new stuff to the table. It can't just keep regurgitating old stuff.
Exactly. So, maybe it doesn't matter. I mean, people often will repeatedly ask me, but why are they doing it? And the answer is, I don't know.
They're evil bastards, that's why.
Yeah.
And the thing is, going back to your faith, Mike, I can't say I'm religious because there's too many religions out there to make one religion right. That's my view, right? However, there has to be something more to why we're here, right? We don't fit in within nature. We're humans do not fit in. We're the odd ones out. Mm. We can't. A cat. If we weren't here now, my cats would survive. They'd be eating mice and stuff like that, for argument's sake. Yeah. The birds would live, etc. Everything would carry on without humans. Mm. We wouldn't without them.
No, sure.
Yeah. So we don't belong here. We've been put here. That's my view. Mm-hmm. Whether it's true or not, whatever, wherever we've come from, we've been placed here.
Yeah.
And so there is something else. Whatever it is, I don't know. But there is something else.
Well, I believe in a creator because I think we're designed. Yeah. We look like we're designed. Yeah. Someone's designed. You can't tell me.
Controversially, just as I've realised that there's no scientific evidence for the presence of viruses, that acute respiratory illnesses are not contagious, and also this is a final straw of my scientific career. I do not find the evolutionary theory adequate to explain what we see.
So there's a lot of time and energy being spent convincing you otherwise.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's no doubt that the process occurs, but I mean, just to be specific, I don't think it explains speciation. So it doesn't matter how many hundreds of generations of rats and mice you're allowed to breed and you put pressures on the environment and so on, they won't turn into a giraffe, even a small one. They're not capable of doing that. Selection pressures in an environment. We see that all around
us. In my grandson's pop-up book, it shows a dinosaur. So don't tell me that.
Absolutely. Yeah, my grandchildren have got dinosaur pajamas, and I don't point at them going, they don't exist.
Not helpful.
The secret is in the pajamas, Mike. We've talked about this. All the things we want to program with are in the pajamas.
Chris's got some dinosaur pajamas.
And some unicorn ones.
Unicorn ones. I'm going to have, I want an Apollo, whatever it was, Apollo 8.
Special. I saw an interesting Instagram someone sent me the other day, and it was this woman saying that on girls' pajamas, it's always a victim, and on boys' pajamas, it's always a predator. Which is interesting. Yeah. She'll have a fluffy cat on the girls, then you'll have like a lion or a tiger on her, etc.
Zootropolis again.
Yeah, that's exactly what I thought about.
Zootropolis.
I'm surprised they can sell boy and girl pajamas anymore.
Well, yeah.
I would probably need 48 different categories, don't they?
Yeah. On that note, I'm going to play this video, which will probably... good job you've eaten already, Mike. Where are we? Here we go. Are you ready? You look, everyone will be able to hear this, but you can watch it on the Matrix videos, the last one, Matrix 40.
Hey, everyone. So I want to talk today about the elephant in the room that women don't like talking about, but we all think about: having a bulge. Having a bulge doesn't magically make you a man. Having a bulge doesn't negate your womanhood. A lot of us women still have our bits and pieces, and that's okay. So I think we really need to start changing the language and discourse around this issue, and start normalizing it. Bye, everyone.
We are in hell.
Yeah.
Just as a brief description, he had a
yellow dress. Yeah.
Hairy chest sticking out, and hairy arms.
Tattoos.
And a size 40 like a chest and
Red nails, red lipstick.
It's insane.
But do you know what gets me, right? 30 years. Oh, let's go back to the 80s, right? Back to the 80s. That person would have been thought of as mentally ill, right? There's no doubt about that. They would have been thought of as mentally ill. So roll on to 2000. They probably still would have been thought of as mentally ill. Right, they certainly wouldn't have been walking around the streets in a yellow dress with lipstick on. The guy in Halifax used to walk around there. He looked like a bloke, and he wore women's clothes and grew his hair long and had highlights. And he was nuts, right?
Yeah.
Now we've got to a point where that's normal, right? Mm. Where does that go in 25 years, 50 years? Where is that the minor attracted people are allowed to adopt children? Is that normal then?
God knows. I mean, certainly the...
I hope he does.
The many things that we see occurring is, the division of everything from everything else and separation from tradition. So a man and a woman in a monogamous lifelong relationship, that's out of the window. It's not even approved of. Raising their own children according to their own beliefs and values, with the state having a relatively minor role. People professing faith privately, at least, sometimes publicly. And the clarity about whether you are a man or whether you are a woman, all of those things are between not approved of and potentially dangerous. And ironically, we're in a position where, if not now, quite quickly, just on your theme, Tom, of the timeline, I foresee a time where asserting any of those things could land you in jail.
Yes.
In this country.
Yeah. So just, well, I mean, the current government is known now as the woke cabinet, isn't it? They're all, and a lot of the MPs aren't straight. I think a lot of them, there's a high, very high proportion of not straight, as we class it in our time. Mm-hmm. And so the agenda's going to change. The younger people, I was talking to one of my neighbours, and he was watching football, and he must have stood up at home and shouted out, I don't know, some sort of sexist remark. And his daughter said, you can't say that anymore, Dad. She's about 18, 19. You can't say that. And so the younger generation are coming in. They actually think the climate's changing and it's our fault, the older generation's fault. They actually think that a man isn't just a man. It can be a woman with an hairy chest or the other way around. They're sort of asking for the problem, aren't they? They're sort of, they've been brainwashed into thinking it. Like the 2020 thing, where people sort of asked for these jabs, didn't they?
Pretty much. That's certainly something that I've grown increasingly cross about, and I'll certainly talk about it in detail, perhaps in the second half.
We're sort of in that second half now.
Oh, okay. I wouldn't mind this if I could.
I'll be a part of the ocean.